This is James Corbett of the Corbett Report, and joining me on the line today once again is Jonathan Elinoff, the co-founder of We Are Change Colorado and founding member of TruthAlliance.net, and now the filmmaker behind the new forthcoming documentary, Core of Corruption, which can be found at coreofcorruption.com. Jonathan Elinoff, it's a great pleasure to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I just want to add there. When you say forthcoming, do you mean my fourth film?
I mean coming in the future.
Ah, right. Gotcha. Right, because the film series is going to be. I'm attempting to do a large display of information in as short of a time period as possible. Anyone who's read any of the books out there knows how much information is so readily available, and again, how long it takes to get through it. So, given the target of the information that I'm trying to detail and the scope of the project, it's virtually impossible, even in a 10-hour period, which is five films, five, you know, reasonably timed films. We just finished the first film, and it was running 3 hours, and we're trimming everything we can out of it to get it down to, you know, a watchable form. And that 3 hours included what we had already cut, which was another 2 hours. So if that tells you what we're working with, that's the first film that was running 5 hours, cut down to two. Now we're trimming. 4 hours, we cut 2 hours. 5 hours, cut down to 2 hours. Our goal is 2 hours. It's not being obtained very easily. Let's just put it that way. But the whole point is that, you know, when I started this project years ago, I wanted to get somewhere on my own and be able to digest the information and make sense of it, and then basically be able to explain it to somebody who is just learning about it. And I've noticed a lot of people. First of all, we're fighting an uphill battle. There's a lot of naive, very cocky people out there that do not want to know anything. Second of all, don't want to be told anything by anyone else. They have a sense of superiority to them. Egos get in the way. They don't want to be taught anything by their fellow whoever, even a stranger. You know, who are you? They want to be told by a credible source, by a reputable source in their minds. And what is reputable? What is credible anymore? I can give you countless examples, which is what I'm doing in my film, where the news has reported on one thing, and 20 years ago they reported on the same thing in the opposite light. You can clearly see there was a change. I can show you examples where the news has released false stories, completely made up. I mean, pure propaganda on behalf of a private interest. I can give you examples. I've privately recorded talk show hosts, anchors, admitting that, yes, editors and producers many times pull stories. A lot of stories don't make it to the air because private interests control the media. So, again, what is credible? What is reputable? We know now that the Internet is just as credible or reputable as CNN or Fox or wherever you get your news from. The only difference is are you going to go out and find out what you were told is true? There's fact-checking, there's abilities out there, there's resources out there at your disposal, at everyone's disposal, to go and verify information on their own. And that's what I started to do, because I wanted to verify what I was being told both by the establishment and by the underground media, the alternative media, whatever you want to call it. I consider it all the media. like I said, the internet has its pros and cons. The pros are, of course, it's the ability to disseminate large amounts of information instantaneously to the whole world. So basically, it's the last refuge for somebody who knows they know something or has information they need to get out. They need to get it out now, regardless of some screening that some editor or producer is going to do or whatever. The dark side, the con, of course, is there's no regulation. There's no kind of oversight. So complete nonsense and BS can be on the internet as well. So, again, what is the difference between the Internet and a reputable source? At that point, nothing. It still falls into the hands of the listener or the viewer or whatever to be looking to examine the information, to look into the information, to verify the claims, and to make up their own opinions. And that's one of the things I tell people about core corruption. You know, I'm not here to dictate. I don't want you to believe anything I said. I hope you go off and do your own research. I'm not here to dictate what I know, because I don't know anything. I don't know what happened that day, and I don't attempt to theorize what did happen. That's one of the things that, unfortunately, a lot of people don't get. I can't believe when it happens. It boils my blood. But when people say things like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, I go, I've never theorized a conspiracy in my life, buddy. I have no theory about what is happening. I'm a journalist. I'm here to show you what I know, what I found out, what I can verify. And what I can verify is that the media, yes, has at one time or another talked or reported on pretty much everything I've ever read about in the underground media. At some point in time, establishment media, for a 48 to 72-hour period, reported on the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, I mean, bombs found on 9/11, bombs being defused on 9/11, bomb squads walking in now, Giuliani's team is clearing out because of a bomb being found, all right on the press, right out on the live feed. So this isn't a matter of me trying to dictate what I think happened. I'm just showing people, look, here's what I can find, and you decide what this means to you. And hopefully, and like I said, I've cut so much I can't even begin to tell you the scope, the scale of information that is out there. It is so, it's amazing how there's a plethora of credible information to verify almost everything that the movement has ever said. And when I say the movement, I don't just mean the peace and justice movement. I mean the 9/11 truth movement. I mean the and the Fed movement. I mean the anti-New World Order movement, so on and so forth. I mean the movement that's the real movement. Anybody who knows anything about what's going on, if you've traveled the world, if you've traveled the country like I have, if you've interviewed everybody and talked to everyone of any significance on or off camera, you know that the real fight is between the globalists and the anti-New World Order. It's as simple as that. And then there's subcategories, and it's a matter of which compartment somebody is. You meet an activist who's, let's say, is an environmentalist. You know, they could be so compartmentalized down the scope, they could be, you know, they could identify themselves as, you know, let's say, just for the sake of hypothetical, you know, reasoning here, they're on the left and they're a liberal, you know, environmentalist who believes in, you know, so on and so forth. Well, just off the bat, you know that they have a long way to go, because first of all, you have to get past the left-right paradigm. If you don't know about that, then I got a bridge I can sell you, because that's the oldest trick in the book. The oldest trick in the book, and they're playing it, they've been playing it for years, is to convince people that there's a left and a right, and that somehow, you know, they're getting away with it. But the reason why they're getting away with it is because, perfect example, what's the difference between a doctor and a regular person? What's the difference? The only difference is, a doctor, see, went to school for a long time to get a certain certification. Says he read a lot of books. He has a lot of experience. He had another doctor certify and look at things, and he wrote papers, and, you know, he achieved a certain expectation level. So we automatically throw out all of our, suspicions or superstitions, and we trust, you know, blindly, whatever the doctor says. The doctor says, you know, such and such, you're going to believe it because you trust him. He's, you know, there's a doctor. Well, I can show you doctors that are telling you things that contradict what your physician will tell you. So obviously not all doctors agree on things. I can give you countless examples. Fluoride, aspartame, genetically modified foods, vitamin B12. We can go on and on and on. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's pathetic that there's so many credible doctors behind an alternative science, and that's what it's labeled. But these people are just, what's the difference between these people and the doctors you go to? So, again, same with 9/11. I can give you 3,500 professional architects, engineers, structural engineers, that all have examined 9/11. They've looked at the evidence. They haven't even seen my film yet. My film documents that bombs were found on 9/11. I don't even get into the physics debate. I just show you clips of when they were finding bombs. So people can choose to believe whatever they want on that day, but this is not a matter of opinion. This isn't a theory. If you don't accept it, that's your problem. I'm not here to hold your hand when you cross the street. You know, I'm not here to tell you Santa Claus is not real. That's not my job. I'm not here to break it to you. I'm here to tell you the way it is. You know, when I say break it to you, I mean, I'm not here to coach you. I'm not here to help you understand it and digest it. That's not my job. You have a wife or a girlfriend or a husband or a friend or whatever. Go to your bars. I don't know. Whatever it is. Whatever it is that people have, you have a shrink. You have a, if it's religion, you find Muhammad, you find Jesus, you find Allah, whatever it is you find. People, Buddha, you know. I don't care. That's not my interest. I'm not here to guide people through this suffering or through their experience. I'm here to show you, listen, there are clips, over 60 of them, and that's cut between hundreds more, of bombs being found on 9/11 in the 12 minutes before the first tower came down. When the FBI showed up on the scene, they came up with a working theory that bombs were in the building. Why? Because the basements had blown up when the first plane hit. They knew that. The FBI released that information on the day of 9/11. You haven't seen those clips before because, well, I'm going to be surfacing a lot of these clips for the first time since they aired. Like I said, people need to see the film. It's going to be available online on Google Video, but you know, in order for me to do this, I need as much support as I can to continue doing what I do as a journalist. So I hope people can support me and buy a T-shirt or at least a bumper sticker or whatever. Or my DVD, please. You know, we're going to be selling spindles for cheap. The premiere is coming up April 5th. We'll have Richard Gage there, architect and engineer. He's a founder of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Daniel Hopsicker, the unsung hero in this movement, who is largely unknown, unfortunately, but is a genius and a respected journalist, in my opinion. What he was able to find out in detail is just there are no words for it. He puts together the important pieces in both the Kennedy assassination and Iran-Contra that, for those who really research anything, know what his work did accomplished a large gap that we had. It accomplished closing that gap and making sense of it. And one day I think he will be recognized for his work, I hope soon. Sander Hicks will be there. He's also another unsung hero. A lot of people don't know about him. But listen, he was one of the first people to interview Mike Vreeland and Randy Glass. You know, Mike Vreeland is a totally weird story on 9/11 that nobody knows. And here's this guy arrested in Canada under Mikhail Krishchenov, and he's a Russian, you know, spy, they think, selling arms in the Middle East. But he's really a discharged Office of Naval Intelligence officer working at the Pentagon. And on the trial in Canada, he calls the Pentagon switchboard and gets his own voicemail. And the Pentagon says he never worked for him. Well, he's like an Oswald, man. He gets honorably discharged from the Navy, goes to the Middle East to sell arms under the front as a Russian spy. This is what we call a double agent. The man he met throughout the whole process worked at the embassy. His name was Mark Bastian. Mark Bastian was killed 6 days after Mike Vreeland got arrested, December 6th, 2000, just before 9/11, you know, what, 9 months before 9/11. 6 days later, December 12th, the guy he was working with, Mark Bastian, dies of poisoning. They rule it a homicide. They never find the person who killed him. And then Vreeland never knows that Mark Bastian's dead, writes a letter to Bastian outlining and detailing the attacks of September 11th are coming. The Canadian intelligence, the CSIS, intercept the letter. They confirm everything. This made it out. Now, everything I told you is fact. I have not theorized a thing to this point. Now, how people want to choose to digest this, they can choose. But if that's not prior knowledge, I don't know what is. And like I said, you know, the film is hard-hitting. All five films are going to be really, really powerful. We're going to be getting into a lot of information that is not talked about. Oh, and by the way, people ask, well, where's Mike Vreeland now? I go, well, first he tried to fake his death to get away from the cover of everything, and that failed miserably. And then he's now in prison for sex charges with minor boys, Now, again, some people say, oh, well, that's doesn't, you know, let me tell you something. If you know anything about clandestine services at the higher levels, first of all, that's the very common trait. CIA has the highest adultery rate and suicide rate next to the post office. Anyone knows that who looks at that, those are the statistics. But not only that, but pedophilia and homosexual pedophilia. Unfortunately, it's just one of those truths. You know, I'm not here to help people understand this. I'm just here to report the facts. Look into it. Do what you want with it. I don't care. A lot of people said that about David Ferry. People say that about George H.W. Bush. H.W. and Reagan and all those guys went down for it in the 80s. The whole callboy scandal in the 80s was documented. It made it to the international press. CNN was reporting on it. Connie Chung had a whole report on it, and they dropped the story in the first 24, 48 hours. Why? Because they couldn't afford this information to get out, that the president and the vice president and all the top people were pedophiles. The whole Franklin scandal is true. Anyone who can look into it and verify it. So again, these are not, I'm not theorizing about this. This is a matter of fact. But how is it that so many people don't know? Well, again, it's like that doctor scenario I put forth. We put this trust in media. We put this trust in Hollywood, like we do in a doctor. But see, the media doesn't go to like 16 years of schooling and certifications. They've got all kinds of people working for them that aren't even journalists. You think editors and producers went to school for journalism? No. These people are they're paid. It's private interest. These people work for a living. They have to make money. And they have an establishment to keep. They can't have dissident, too much of it at least. And if there's a market for it, if there's a thirst for it, they'll go for it. You know, these people are crooks. And that's something everyone has to understand. It's not always that people are evil. That explains some of it, sure, why not? But it's also sociopathic, which means that they don't understand evil. There's a difference. When human element is attached, it's hard for somebody to do something. Like if Ben Bernanke had to go into somebody's house and physically remove them and take their stuff out, you know what I mean? That human element's there. But if people are losing their homes because he doesn't care, there's a difference. There's no human, it's all detached. It's like when somebody fires a missile because they press a button looking at a screen versus them on the ground arm wrestling the guy, stabbing him to death. The human element has been detached in our culture. It is very easy for somebody to not care, to not give a crap, not necessarily be premeditatingly evil. They're not sitting here thinking about the evil. No, they're not. They don't care. Most of us judge the world by the way we look at ourselves. Good people. One of the reasons why evil's around is because it's the most human thing. It's what people have to understand. Something that is just as human as good is evil. Rape and murder and rage and envy and jealousy are just as human. They've always been human traits, and good people are very easily blinded by them. And that's, if anything, the most common understanding throughout history. So again, with all that said, when people look at corruption, they need to understand many people don't care about things, and in a world where so much responsibility is expected from people in positions of power, where one mistake can lead to thousands dead, if somebody's careless, well, then, are they evil? Well, maybe they're sociopathic. Look at the Madoff scandal. So again, these are the factors people have to consider. This is rationalizing this information. It's making sense of it without jumping off the deep end and starting to get into, you know, ultra-conspiracy theory. This is digestible. And with 9/11, you have that. You don't need thousands of people in on this conspiracy. I can't stand it when I hear people say that, because first of all, you can't come to a judgment before you look at it. Second of all, if you know anything about compartmentalized operations and the history of the CIA and clandestine services, then you understand how things are done through assets, through handlers, through agents, and how you can have less than 50 people in on something without them even knowing about it, by the way, with the contingency set up, with them thinking one thing when another's going on, an entirely different scenario happens, and then after the fact, when they figure it out, they look at themselves and they go, oh my God, it looks like I'm in on this. You told me this, though. And the CIA looks at them and goes, well, that doesn't matter now, does it? And they go, well, what do you want me to do? And goes, well, you are the one with the record here. You're the one who met with the financer. We can't do anything. And see, they set people up. It's called blackmail. Is it illegal? Sure. Can you prove it? No. And are you going to? No. Because these people have assassination squads. Seymour Hersh just admitted it. We've been talking about it for 45 years. We found out about it in 1975 with the church committee. It's been denied since. It continues to be denied. But it's a real thing. We kill people for a living. We kill journalists in the name of the USA. I mean, welcome to the Cold War. It never died. We overthrow countries. We assassinate leaders. We take over media and propagate lies. We manipulate resources. We manipulate countries. We use financial terrorism. We use false flag terrorism, so on and so forth. We can go down the line. It's documented. It's been documented for 60 years. It's on the mainstream media. I found all of the press to go through with it. It's been in books for 45 years at least, and they've been citing news articles. Apparently, newspapers weren't good enough, but again, people don't read. And they just assume that these, quote, conspiracy theorists are making all this up. Well, no, it's fact. Get with it. Get with the times, people. And understand that it's not a bunch of hand-holding, loving people that run the world. I don't know what reality some people reflect on when they hear that careless people run the world, but the reality of the fact is that no. Most of the people don't care. They're just there because they made it there. They don't have to necessarily lie and cheat to get there, but they worked very hard. It's a very well-protected establishment with a lot of shields. It's not going to fall very easily. And if anything threatens that establishment, they band together. Left, right, financier, doesn't matter. Wall Street, doesn't matter. Military. And so you have right now before us, in this world today, they are generating a new world order. It is happening right before our eyes. Something that was called conspiracy theory forever is actually totally out in the open now. It's happening right before our eyes. And I still can't believe when people are like, they come to me and they say, well, maybe you were right about that one. But the others, it's like, wait a second. That was the one we could never prove. The others we had the documents on. The Kennedy assassination, we had the witnesses. We had Barry Seal. We had Guy Bannister. We had David Ferrer. We had New Orleans. That's where the real story was. With 9/11, we have Otta in Venice running heroin. You got Richard Grove, you know, all confirming that that he built the software to launder the money that financed the attacks right in Wall Street. I mean, we have the documentation to prove the conspiracies. The New World Order one was the hardest one to prove, because you couldn't find any credible sources to talk about it. And that's the one that people are buying now just because it's coming out. Why? In the establishment press. But I can show you examples of the establishment press talking about the same conspiracies that people don't believe. Except the difference is they cut the story off in the first, 72-hour period. Is that convenient? Well, that makes sense to me when people say, is there any evidence that an executive order or an executive action is in place or some kind of a secret government, shadow government is exercising power to keep information from the people. Obviously, you can't control the information that comes out. You can't watch everybody. That ability is slowly coming, and it's scary that it's almost here. But what you can do is you can shut somebody up once they start talking. And if they continue to talk, they kill them. I can give you examples of that, too. All of that in the mainstream press. Look at Gary Webb, Dark Alliance. Look at a perfect example is one of the things I get into is sorry, I'm drawing a blank here. The Octopus was what do you call it? Danny Casolaro. Danny Casolaro was a journalist who was on the verge of breaking a huge story. That was going to prove the Iran-Contra scandal included, not necessarily the Iran-Contra scandal, but the that era, that network was behind the October surprise, that it had actually happened. He was going to prove it. He was going to show how they did it, how they financed it, how they paid Iranian officials to postpone the release of hostages so that Reagan could get the credit and Carter could get out of the administration. Remember, this is the same network that was going to work with Iran to sell them arms. So when people say, oh, well, maybe we sold them arms in secret while they were enemies, but we didn't pay them. Okay, come on. Come on. We're not taking a big leap here. But Danny Casalaro went out of his way to establish the evidence. And what happens right before he releases his story and all his evidence? Well, he commits suicide. Well, that's convenient. Jeez. Right before he's going to tell the world what he knows, he gets 16 slashes in his wrist and he's dead. Right in his hotel room. Yeah, I believe that. Really? No, sure. Even with a coroner's report. I can give you an example in Florida where a coroner 3 times lied about reports, was put in prison for it, and he's still a coroner down there. What are coroner's reports for? What are medical examiner's reports, what are medical examinations for? They're useless in today's society because we don't punish people when they lie. This is the world we're living in, people. I mean, corruption is way, way, way beyond anything you can imagine. But what are we talking about here? Are we talking about pink fairies and dragons? Or are we talking about human behavior? Are we talking about plain old greed and jealousy and envy and selfishness and carelessness? These are not things that are very far from the reach of our ability. We're not talking about crazy things here. And it's unfortunate when people throw these conspiracies, these political conspiracies, in with things that are very controversial and fringe. Very, very, very controversial and fringe. And I don't want to get into the examples, but I'm sure people can use their imagination. There's a difference when somebody's talking about, you know, Elvis is an alien and he's alive and well, and somebody says, hey, this politician killed that journalist to keep a story from coming out. Well, don't you think that one is probably more likely to be possible? So this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a group of people, our public, that are extremely naive about conspiracies. They just are so confident that people are in the good in people. It's disgusting. And it's insulting to any intellectual person who knows the historical context of this planet, who knows that conspiracies, first of all, are in official history, but second of all, are documented all the time. But we convict people on conspiracy every day. Political conspiracy, that's what Madoff was. It was a conspiracy to defraud his investors. That's what we convict people on in courts, business, political, medical. There's all kinds of conspiracies. Who's to say that the conspiracies don't happen on the big scale? If they happen on the little scale and we're convicting thousands of people to rob a bank or a 7-Eleven, and we're convicting people every day on conspiracies, including some of the most horrible things that people just for some reason think don't happen, like murder and rape, you really think that a politician being careless for his own personal interests is going to generate a crisis, that's hard to believe? I mean, come on, people. Please, spare me the crap, the BS. And that's the problem with this culture. I might sound cynical here, but I'm going to break it to you real. I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. I'm not going to hold back. It's unfortunate that so many people are filled with a nonsense, a silly, ridiculous utopian worldview. They put all this trust in politicians, like they're what, a priest? Oh, right. And what did the priests do? What did we find out about them? Right. Oh, I forgot. 30,000 cases in 20 years against the Catholic Church for child pedophilia. Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I mean, come on. So, again, what we're dealing with is stupidity on the masses. If anything that there's common throughout world history, it's how often the masses, the majority, have been wrong. So when you rationalize this information and you really look at, what the probability is this could be true, are we talking about Elvis being alive and he's an alien? Or are we talking about straight-up politics, buddy? We're talking about politicians that are saying, hey, they're greedy, they're selfish, and they're careless. Is that really that hard to digest? So I hope people can use their intellect. And when I say use your intellect, you have to be skeptical. And a true skeptic is not just skeptical of conspiracy theories, but is skeptical of the official story. A A true skeptic doubts what he's being told. A true skeptic. So when I tell people about what I found out, and they say, well, I'm a skeptic, I say, really? You know, what a skeptic is somebody who questions the official story first and then questions everything else being provided. That's what a true skeptic is. And in order to be a skeptic, you actually have to look at the information being provided before you can say that you're skeptical about it. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose of being a skeptic. If you don't look into 9/11 in detail, you don't watch any of our DVDs, or you don't follow the information, and you're not familiar with it, and you say you're skeptical of it, well, it doesn't make any sense, because you can't be skeptical about something you don't know. It's impossible. You have to first look at it to make the decision that you're skeptical about it. So people, like I said, for the most part, don't understand this process. And that's the world we're in right now. And with core corruption, what separates this film from every other film? Well, nothing really. I'm not detailing necessarily anything largely new that you can't already find out somewhere on the internet. I am detailing a lot of information that's not readily available. I'm detailing information that's not largely known. I'm detailing very specific information that's not been put together in this fashion. And I'm showing credibility to it for the first time. I mean, there's no debate. I'm not showing you my opinion. I'm backing everything I say up in my film with reputable sources to shut people up. Because I'm sick of hearing people say, like Noam Chomsky says, they use their own sources. They use their own sources to reinforce what they say. That is BS. Go to historycommons.org. It's the site we all use. We use the establishment media. If you're going to criticize us, give us a challenge, please, Noam Chomsky. Give me a challenge. Don't insult my intelligence. You know, he's a left gate holder. He's wasting everyone's time. There's a lot of people who look up to him because he's a philosopher, a philanthropist, whatever they think he is. The reality of the fact is he's not in a position to criticize the 9/11 Truth Movement because he knows nothing about it. I've heard him speak on it, and I can give you examples of him lying, flat out misrepresenting, willful disregard for the truth. It's disgusting that a man of influence like that can be so far from the truth. So clearly he either doesn't know, or he is just an old man and he's becoming senile and he's starting to look like the people he started to go against, you know, 30 years ago. He's starting to look like the bigot. So, you know, we're replacing our establishment with us. And that's one of the reasons, again, why We Are Change was founded. You guys have to go out there and get involved in government. You know, you can't keep not caring. You know, like Plato has a quote talking about, and I'm not going to quote it directly because I'll probably misquote it, but it talks about how intelligent people do not get involved in politics because they think it's below them. And the price they pay for that is that they are governed by their inferiors. And there's a lot of truth to that that people do not give. So core corruption is going to break through the barrier of what we think is credible, what we think is reputable, and bring a new sense to the movement, I hope, of what it is that's going on. And a lot of people still, to this day, say, oh, well, you're never going to find it out. Who are you to find out? Well, let's not work backwards here. We don't know what we're going to find out, and every journalist knows that. When a detective shows up on the scene of a crime, he's not going to say, well, clearly I cannot find out. There's no way for me to know what happened. You think he's going to walk? No, come on, give me a break. We pay that guy to look at the blood, to analyze it, to talk to the perps, the friends of the perps, the business associates of the perps, the perpetrators, to find out, to build a story, to get a list of suspects. That's what we pay the guy to do. What do you think a journalist does? Same thing. He looks at all the information and he presents it all at the end and goes, here's all I could find out. What do you think happened? He's not going to theorize for you, but you can make up the best decision you can based on the information presented. Does that mean you know what happened? No. But I can tell you one thing, you'll have a better idea of it. So let's not be cocky and naive and say to each other, oh, well, you'll never know. You'll never know what happened. Who are you? Well, I know that. I don't know if I'll ever know, and I don't know if what I know is this info. But I can tell you, here's what I found out, and here's what I can prove, and it contradicts what we're being told. And that's important because it means something to the world. We're losing touch with reality. The chasm between what's going on in reality and what we're being told, the gap is so wide. It is so wide. It's almost impossible now to do anything about it other than to, you know, just hope people can digest it when they wake up, because it's very hard for people to hear this information. When they first learn, oh my gosh, there were more people involved with 9/11, and it included people on our own soil, and they helped and they aided and abetted. And, oh my gosh, there's even evidence that they might have orchestrated some elements of the attack. Oh, I don't know what to do. And I look at them and I go, really? Come on, any other time in history you would have been born, you would have been, first of all, illiterate, and you would have been working in some steel mill or some war factory. Throughout history, you had to be privileged. You had to be born into money just to learn how to read and write the language they wouldn't teach you. And you had to go through a lot of screening to write down history. You couldn't just write down what you want. Free press wasn't allowed. Why do you think the printing press changed the world? Why do you think the internet changed the world? That's what we're talking about. So if there's anything that's more important, it's using our time to our benefit. We're in a very privileged state right now. People have no idea how important the internet is to keep it neutral, to keep internet neutrality the way it is, have no oversight on it. It is not needed. You're going to destroy the internet if you suggest such a thing, and quit working for the corporate media if you think such. Because that's what they want. They want to destroy the internet. Why? Because it's killing their agenda. Look at all this information that made it out. I mean, I was able to get off all this footage for my film because of the internet. I wouldn't have been able to do it without it. I would have had to pay a lot of money that I can't afford to find footage that supposedly doesn't exist. Alas. Alas. We come to something that makes sense again. Ah, okay. So it's really about privilege. It's really about understanding this is a great time. We don't have to be cynical, but when we recognize that people are careless and people are selfish and greedy or whatever, let's not blow it out of proportion. Let's not say, you know, an orange is an apple. These people are human, nothing more. They're not. If you're really religious, you want to call them demons, go for it. I don't care. Whatever floats your boat. They're pretty human from what I can see. And humans do a lot more than just express love and compassion to each other. They play King of the Hill. The history of the world is taking it over. That's the history of the world. When you read history, it's military expansion, it's colonial expansion, it's imperial expansion, it's conquering, it's taking over other lands, just committing genocide upon the natives of the land and indoctrinating them into your religion, killing their calendars, destroying their culture, destroying their native tongues, teaching them your English or whatever language you taught, if you're China or whatever, one of the powers of the world at some point, and indoctrinating your belief system on it. That's the history of the world. It's a conspiracy to take it over. Name one time in history when there wasn't a conspiracy to take over the planet. You can't, because that's the history of the world. A group of people have always been interested in controlling it. The difference is, in the last 60 years, they've made a decision to fight it as a Cold War. They wanted to take over the world secretly. Now, let's understand that. The national security state is something that's real. It's not a myth. There's classified information out there. There are operations that take place that are classified, which means the media will not report on them. And if they do report on them, somebody's going to show up and kill that story. Is there evidence of that? Yes, I can give you evidence of it. Danny Casolaro, perfect example. I talked about it earlier. There's a journalist who was about to expose Iran-Contra way before it ever got exposed. He could have nipped that thing in the butt. Well, they had to kill him, right? Well, that's the way these people think. How many thousands of journalists and innocent people have to die because they're pursuing the truth to keep your interests at bay? How many people have to die to keep our system the way it is? Well, I got to tell you, they've been dying and the system's changing. And we're not doing anything. I'm somewhat cynical on the people because I've been active in this movement for 5 years and I've seen virtually no response. I've met a lot of cocky, naive jerks who don't know anything about what they're talking about, never read a book in their life. Where do people get this idea about the CIA? Where do we get this idea? Well, because of James Bond, because of movies. 9 out of 10 people don't read a book on the CIA. They've never read a book by the director of the CIA or an ex-clandestine officer or an analyst. They've never met one. Because if they did, they'd realize, oh, my God, 1/3 of them have died of homicide or suicide right before they were going to testify about something. Most of them, if not all of them, are serious criminals, documented for 60 years, running drugs or sex slave rings. I mean, come on, let's face it, people. Look at the evidence. You want to know what your intelligence agencies are doing? Look at congressional record. Look at congressional record. Look at history, documented journalist history. It's there. But why do people have such a different vision about intelligence agencies? Because Hollywood's done such a great job at teaching us a false lie. I mean, really think about it. When you think about an intelligence officer, what do you think? Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible? What do you think of James Bond? You think of Pierce Brosnan or Sean Connery? What comes to mind when people say it's intelligence agent or intelligence officer? They think of a Hollywood movie. I'm not joking. They have no clue. They've never read a book. They don't know about the Church Committee. When we found out the CIA was killing people for a living, they didn't have the charter to do that, didn't they? Well, no, they have the charter to do a lot more than that, actually. They have the charter to torture people who haven't committed a crime. That's what they're doing right now. Preemptive torture as a means of, I mean, this is crazy. This is madness. This is craziness, people. Why? Because people don't care. Carelessness is easily misunderstood as evil. Just because somebody's careless in Wall Street because he doesn't care about you and he cares about himself doesn't mean he's premeditatingly planning an evil plot against you. He just doesn't care about you. It's one of the reasons why the Nazis were able to kill so many people, because people didn't care. Is it evil? Well, you didn't have to kill him, did you? Well, there you go. That's the point. This is one of the problems with, what do they say, Romans 13? They use it in the Catholics used it for Nazi Germany. They do it to keep people sedated, man. They do it to say, hey, the government's right. Just put your guns down and just, you don't want to kill somebody because that's wrong. And that is wrong, isn't it? Unless it's in self-defense. Well, that's debatable then. Most people agree that if somebody comes at you with a knife, you should be able to block and defend yourself. And if he happens to die, you know, that's his fault because he started it, right? Well, that's the majority of law around the world agrees with that. Well, what if I told you that somebody is conspiring to kill you in secret? What is self-defense defined at that point? Are you allowed to speak up and use at least your free speech? Because I'm not advocating violence. I never advocate violence. I don't believe in violence as a solution to any of these problems. But I can tell you right now, they are violent. They're killing millions of people. Why? Because they can do it without that human factor. The genetically modified foods, aspartame, they can do it. They kill millions. They deprive nations of food. They're murdering people. They're taking you by the balls. They're taking us by everything we have because we're slaves to their system. And there's nothing we can do about it because they're very intelligent about how they've compartmentalized this whole operation, how they've been able to take over the world in the fashion they have throughout the Cold War, fighting communism off of capitalism to enter every country they can imagine to defend that country from the enemy. And the enemy is defined as whoever's not winning in that country, whether the Soviets or the U.S. The Cold War was a brilliant scheme to get into every country. It worked. 50 years later, now we got every country in debt to us because we financed their armies to fight a war against an enemy we financed. Communism was backed on Wall Street. Wake up, people. The entire Bolshevik Revolution came from Wall Street. It's documented. The Hoover Institute. It's documented. It's fact. It's open. It's taught in schools that communism was designed by us. Does that mean that the communists knew that? No. For the same reason we backed Fidel to take out Batista before we went after him, for the same reason we backed Saddam before we went after him, and for the same reason we backed Al-Qaeda before we went after them. For the same reason that they back both sides of every war, just like they did with Napoleon, just like they did all over in Europe, and just like they did with the Revolutionary War and the Civil War. It's documented. And anybody who stood up against them has died in an assassination. That's a pretty common denominator that Abe Lincoln had with John Kennedy. They both had a common enemy, the establishment. Now, how they were killed was a different story, but the evidence is there that they were doing what they could to stop this madness. And anybody who does try to do anything, they die. And that's a common story. Now, if you're religious, you can get into the Jesus story, but let's just face the facts, people. Journalists are dying right now because they're trying to stop these people. So is there a human element to this? Is it real? Is it digestible? Sure. But, you know, that's not our problem. Our problem is not trying to prove that this is real and it's happening and that we don't have enough information. Our problem is getting people to care enough, because carelessness is the great enemy. Carelessness is the great enemy of the truth, as well as time. They both kill it. Because if people don't care, man, well, then you're in for a very rough ride, because things are just going to get out of hand. Because if you don't know the sacred knowledge, and the sacred knowledge is basically that good balances evil. That's it. It doesn't matter what religion you are or what you believe. You can be an anarchist and you still believe in some sense of good behavior, morals. Most people agree good and evil has to be committed first before it's actually declared, which means it's defined by action. Good and evil are defined by action, and good balances evil. But if you have people that are careless to evil, well, then evil will win. It's not that complicated of a procedure. It's not that complicated of this whole understanding is prophetic. It goes back a very long time. It's had its cycles throughout history. But, you know, one of the reasons why I'm talking so vague without getting into detail on core corruption is because I want people to see the film, and I hope people can support me. And you can support me. You can go to corecorruption.com. You can buy yourself a pre-order of the DVD. It comes out March 27th. We're about to have bumper stickers, shirts, and lighters up there. We're going to have all kinds of stuff up there. But the lighters are a good idea because we want to get people to, you know, everyone, a lot of people smoke. And lighters are a great way to say, hey, you want a light here? Go ahead and take this one. And those lighters will make its rounds. And on these lighters are little quotes and a website. So hopefully that'll work. We're going to try that. I mean, we're trying everything we can to wake people up. But, you know, if people can help me out, that would be great. I don't know how much time we have. One of the worst things is to sound like an alarmist or you know, a fearmonger. But I got to tell you, the most recent deaths have been microbiologists. That's not good. Whatever they are doing to kill these people for, or whatever the reason is, I am fairly confident that it is not in your best interests, given the track record of assassinations by the executive assassination ring that was denied for years, that Seymour Hersh just admitted it actually does exist. But, you know, the one that we found out existed 33 years ago in the church committee. And for those who don't know, I keep referring to the church committee. It happened in 1975. Frank Church and all these guys got together and basically it was like a cross-examination of the CIA, and they found out all these documents that, yes, the CIA killed Allende and Mossadegh and killed all these leaders in the name of democracy. We killed people. Some of them were pro-democratic, pro-USA. We killed them, murdered them. We killed them all the time. And a lot of people believe that after that point it stopped. Well, anybody who was following the stories knew that right after that came Iran-Contra. We knew that they were still doing the same thing. In fact, they were doing more. They were running drugs and arms to finance their operations. It got even more cynic. It got even more evil and disgusting. I mean, you can follow a track record for this. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, when you draw a little line and you go to it and you go, okay, we're only going to go this far. And you draw another little line and you go, okay, let's just go to this line. Eventually, you draw so many lines, you look back and go, geez, I can't even see where I started. That's what this is like. What we've done with the National Security Act, what we've done with the National Security Agency, the military industrial complex, what we've done with these people, we've allowed corruption to take hold because people are careless. They forgot the sacred knowledge. The sacred knowledge, whatever religion you are, the sacred knowledge is balance evil. Confront it, stop it, punish it, whatever you believe, but balance it, stop it. You have to confront evil. You have to stop these people because it's in our nature to be greedy and take over and destroy and just kill us all. That's historically been, this is not a conspiracy theory, it's a fact. Hitler, Stalin, Look at China. 60 million people died in Mao Zedong. I mean, come on, man. By the way, this is a generation ago. This isn't like thousands of years ago. This is one generation ago. My grandparents lived through it. So we're talking about something that's literally right here. It's in our grasp. It's human. So let's not make things seem like they're silly fantasy science fiction when really we're just talking about basic human behavior. So it's a long answer, but hopefully I did something for you.
Well, Jonathan, I mean, there's no doubt that you've covered an incredible amount of information there, and I think it's instructive because I think it starts to introduce just the extent of the scope of what we're dealing with in something like the Core of Corruption documentary. So I'm sure that has whet the appetite of my listeners to actually see the documentary and hopefully support your work. But let's step back for a moment from the actual content of the documentary to the form and the way it's structured. I understand it's a 5-DVD film that's going to be released in stages. Can you tell us a little bit more about the way that it's structured in that 5 parts?
You have it right. There's 5 DVDs. The book is written. The entire book is written. It's 330 pages. I'm looking for anybody who's interested in investing or financing the editing. We have distribution set up for Barnes & Noble and Walmart. I don't have the money to edit the book. We have distribution contracts lined up, as I'm told from a good friend who's lined them up for me. I've had a chance to do everything I can to try to find a publisher, but like I said, I've been working on this book. Or this film, and so, the book's done, the information's done, all the clips are done, everything's done for the most part. We're just in the touch-up phases, which is, graphics and audio and stuff. So the first film's going to detail 9/11. It's going to detail the attacks of September 11th and really kind of get into the fact that intelligence agencies are written all over it, from Saudi Arabia to Pakistan to Israel. Somebody played a role from each of those on a substantial level. Too much evidence to suggest it. How could multiple intelligence agencies be working together? Well, without looking at Hollywood, if people ever would bother to read a book by any of the Cold War veterans from the CIA, directors included, they'll tell you that when the Cold War started, MI5, Mossad, and CIA built a very deep alliance. And as they got into each country, they would build up that country's intelligence, they would start that intelligence agency there, and then use it as an asset. And that's basically the summary. So the fact that you have ISI, GID, and CIA fingerprints on 9/11 suggests you're talking about a Western establishment group of people who probably in the upper echelons made the decision at some point either to orchestrate or to allow the attacks. The evidence is there to suggest either or. Do I know which one? I don't know. But we have enough to bring into court, and that's what matters. And then we can hopefully find out what they're going to tell us. The second film, details, I'm going to be playing the NORAD tapes for the very first time, and what exactly the U.S. military's role in 9/11 was, and why the air defenses were such a blunder, such a failure that day. As standard operating procedure dictates, to intercept a plane, if it just loses contact within 5 minutes, we did it. Look at Payne Stewart, the golfer who got lost. His plane got lost, went off course just a little bit. They tried to communicate with him. They said, hey, you're off course. They couldn't get a response. They scrambled some F-16s up there, saw that everyone on board had died. They theorized it was from hypoxia, which is lack of oxygen. The sudden loss of cabin pressure, probably something happened, the pinhole in the windshield, anything. Door had maybe sealant not working. It could be anything. Bottom line, they followed that plane because they were fearing that it could crash into a heavily populated area, and they were prepared to shoot down the flight if it did so. They intercepted that flight within minutes of just losing communication. Standard operating procedure for terrorists hijacking the plane, which they knew because Muhammad Atta got on the radio. Most of them they knew because they got on the radios, or they heard screaming. I mean, there wasn't even an interception, not once. I mean, one plane flew for an hour and a half without being intercepted. I mean, come on. Are we that gullible? Obviously, something happened that day that needs to explain why the air defenses were such a failure. Just a phenomenal. I mean, it's 2001, well into the post-Cold War. Even though the Cold War is still alive and well, you know, we built the military-industrial complex to fight the Cold War, and then I meet people who say, "Oh, the Cold War is dead." I go, "Then why is the military-industrial complex still there?" Well, yeah. See, that's what we're talking about here. What are they doing today? Well, the big game now is terrorism, man. So, you know, and it involves a lot of the old networks from the Cold War. And that's who the Mujahideen were. We used them to fight the Soviets in the Cold War. Now they're fighting them for terrorism. Oh, God, it's just great. So the second film really explores this element. The third film gets into how they finance their operations, which is through drug running and crooked activities. It's documented for 60 years. There's just no debate about it. Like I said, I'm not here to help people understand this. I'm not here to help people to guide them in their troubling moment of reality checks. That's not my job. Okay, I was, you know, I've experienced time on the streets, man. Anybody knows, you know, if you can't handle this, it's probably not for you. This is for the big boys. This is for people who really care. And this is for people who want to stop it. If people have a problem because they can't digest the information, they just can't understand how somebody can be so evil, I tell you, spend more time in your church and be close with God, because that's probably all you have left. Because you're going to have a tough time in the real world, baby. they're going to get you no matter what, whether it's an insurance scheme or some Ponzi scheme or whatever. It doesn't really matter, man. There's evil out there. There's a conspiracy to do wrong to your fellow man. It's on the small scale and the large scale, and it's working. So the third film really explores this element of intelligence agencies being so corrupted and running drugs and financing, you know, all these operations through illegal measures. So the fifth, that was the third film. So the fourth film establishes that the background of this information. Why are the intelligence agencies doing this? Who are they working on behalf of? Because they're not working on behalf of me. They're not working on behalf of the American people. They're certainly not working on behalf of many politicians who don't even know about this. Why? Because the national security state is classified top secret. And by the way, when something's classified, does that mean you can't find it out? No. It means you're not going to get a credible or inside source to confirm it. There's a difference. Doesn't mean you can't go investigate and find it out, or find a journalist who will tell you what he found out, or get another press from somewhere else to find it out. Doesn't mean you can't find out about classified operations. It means you cannot get an establishment source to confirm it. That's what classified means. If you're not cleared to know, they're not going to tell you what they know about it. So, the national security state for the Cold War, there's all kinds of things that are happening that you're not going to find out, which means A, B, and C. A, you're going to have conspiracies. B, you're probably not going to be good ones. And C, wake up and quit acting like a baby. People are just in denial. It's been 60 years. We're fighting a war with the Soviets to take over the planet in secret. Are you surprised a couple of conspiracies happen here and there? So the military-industrial complex is still around, but what do you think they're doing now? You granted all these powers to them, and they have powers to do things without the president knowing. So that's what the fourth film gets into. Who the heck are these people working on behalf of with the powers we granted them if they're not working on behalf of us for our interests? Well, like Eisenhower said when he warned us. The possibilities here that these guys could just, you know, get corrupt and start puppeting politicians. And, you know, historically, every time we've built arms up in any country, the people with the guns and stuff make the rules because they're corrupt and they kill people for a living. Well, he said that before he left, and of course, within the next administration, John Kennedy was killed by the very same people. Again, on behalf of who? So the fourth film addresses, if these people are doing these things that are so crooked, who are they doing them on behalf of? Well, CIA comes from Skull and Bones. Bones has been found at the CIA. It's the origin. MI5, same thing. Mossad, same thing. It all comes from the elite. And the elite have a separate agenda. Long time ago, the elite figured out they don't have to busy themselves with being a president just because they want to run a country. Like KRS-One said in Obama deception, he said, when you go to Burger King and you complain, you go to the cashier. But the cashier doesn't give you a right answer. You ask for the manager. And the manager can override the cashier, but you can never meet the franchise owner. That's interesting. That's the exact same thing we have. We have a president. Does that mean the CEO is the highest? Is that where the buck stops there? Really? Get out of here. The buck stops with the richest man. That's where the buck stops, if you want to talk about dollars. That's where the buck stops. The president's not the richest man. He doesn't even have most of the powers. National security, the national security state has more powers than the president has. And the president has more powers today than Congress has, which is unconstitutional. And private industry and private banks have more powers than all of them. And the elite run all of that. And that's what I established by the fourth film, that clearly the elite have gotten out of hand. I mean, the conspiracies throughout history have been either a dictator or a king or a emirate or a sheikh or a some jerk-off, big politician, big wig, rich, greedy jerk, taking over everything with a right arm, with a tough guy. Like the mafia, same thing. The only difference is today's world is a group of them doing it. It's just it's different gangs, different mafias, families doing it. And the election is just basically a playoff of two major mafia families. They're both in on the crime, but they just want to see which one of the jerks you're going to select from a pre-selected list. You don't elect the president. You pick from a pre-selected list. If you really elected a president, don't you think you'd have fair coverage of all the presidential candidates? Don't you think it's the most important thing in your country to see all the people running for president? Well, yeah. Well, why don't you? Well, because you need campaign contributions to have ads. And they're not invited to debates. Doesn't really seem like a democracy to me, does it? The only two big gangs are ever really populated because they're the only ones with the money that go on the corporate networks. They're the only people that finance the same jerks to benefit the same finance jerks that are pulling off the capitalism today that's failing, just like communism failed, just like all the isms fail, not because of the idea of capitalism, because capitalism works. The reality is we've never tried it. That's what people have to realize. Capitalism's never been tried. It's just been told like it's happening. People think capitalism is really going on, but it's not, man. You got a controlled market. We don't have a free market. You got the wealth consolidated in less than 3% of the people on the planet, and you got the wealth consolidated in less than 1% of the people in the country. That's not a free market. The market's dictated by their actions. That's why it's so easy for them to create inflation and deflation through the Federal Reserve Bank, which is a private industry. And this is where I get into in the fifth film. I talk about just how far down the rabbit hole we've gone. Who are these jerk-offs? These crooked, no good, and I can go on that way. I'm not going to, I should probably stop myself, but these guys are spineless lizard losers, man. They are reptiles, baby. And I don't mean literally. I love David Icke. He's one of the greatest people that holds me up, but I got to be honest with you. This is about corruption. These guys are pure evil. And pure evil, by the way, is a sociopath. It's somebody who doesn't even understand that they're doing evil because they don't even care enough. That's pure evil. To turn an oven switch on and murder 60,000 people and not even feel anything. That's what we're dealing with. So, you know, by the time the fifth film gets done, we get into the potential rise here for how bad it could get. What are we dealing with? Well, you're dealing with a bunch of people who are, first of all, in denial. You're dealing with the population who's in denial. It's kind of like when the teacher teaches a classroom, right? And a student, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, gets an answer wrong or something, and the teacher pulls out a gun and shoots him right in front of the class. And he's sitting there bleeding. He's dying. And the teacher says to the class, "You guys didn't see a gun, did you?" The class goes, "Oh, no, no. That's what we got right now. You got a guy going out to the premises with his hair on fire telling him you don't smell smoke. You got a bunch of people in denial. You just had two planes fly into buildings and they blew up right in front of you. You got confirmed documentation that there were bombs in those buildings. I have them. I have the clips on it. Thousands of people died in vain right before your eyes. Obviously, a network exists that could totally kick your ass." And people just go about their day. It's like, wait a second, wait, hold on. What's that? Because I just saw that. That doesn't happen. And yeah, we're going to act like it doesn't happen because our population is in denial. We're in complete denial. And the ones who don't know anything about 9/11, oh, that's the worst situation you're in. Those people, God. I meet those people all the time. And let me tell you something. God has a plan for you. Listen, historically, the people who don't know anything never feel anything when they die because they don't know. Yeah, your food's poisoned. It sucks. Well, get with the plan, man. Get with the program. You're a slave. They incorporated the U.S. You're a taxpayer. That's what Social Security is. It's a debt to the Federal Reserve to pay off the loans we make from the Fed to pay off the foundations and schools and brainwashing and everything that they need to teach you to think a certain way, to go get a job. And they want to make sure you develop your own universe. Don't care about the world problems. Don't listen to those people dying in Africa and all those people dying of AIDS and all the people dying of starvation and hunger in the world. Don't care about them. No, that's always been here on the planet. That's what they tell you. No, it hasn't. 100 years ago, it wasn't here. These people used to be tribal. They used to work together. They used to be fine until we showed up and started taking their resources. Read books by, perfect example, Carl Perkins. Read Economic Hitman, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, where he talks about his time with the CIA, and he went around the world, and you know, he'd go to a country, and they'd loan them money to build up their power stations and their roads and their clean water. And then they'd sign over collateral as resources, and then they'd pay off people to make sure that they didn't pay the debts so they could default on the loans and they could take the resources. And private industry would come in. That's how we took over the world. It was just the same as colonialism. So going on, we supply most of our own wheat in this country, but the world problems we face today are a direct result of people's inability to give a crap about the people they're electing or think they elect, and recognizing the real issue is not the Republicans or Democrats, which is microcosmetic. The difference between Republicans and Democrats is microcosmetic. It has to do with your local and state issues. It has to do with how you live. But foreign affairs? You think Republicans and Democrats matters on foreign affairs? No. What matters on foreign affairs is international issues and interests, like banks and war, things like that, big business. That's why there's no oversight on those guys, because those guys puppet in the left and right. Wall Street runs this country. It's not a conspiracy, it's a fact.
Well, Jonathan, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you short. It sounds like our Skype line is cutting out a little bit. We might have to cut the conversation here. But just in closing, can you tell people, I'm sure that the amount of information you presented, people are interested in hearing more about the documentary and getting a copy of it. Can you tell us when people might be able to get a copy of this on DVD and how they might be able to go about doing that?
They can pre-order a copy right now. All DVDs will ship on the release date, which is March 27th. You can order it then, too. It's not going to change the time of when it comes. The only difference is you'll help me finance the premiere out here in Colorado with all the speakers. I got a very large event out here. Colorado 9/11 Truth Forum is what it's called. It's April 5th in Denver, Colorado, at the Oriental Theater at 44th and Tennyson from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And, that's the best way to do it. And then the sequel will be coming out very shortly. You know, like I said, each film, we're shooting for 3 to 4 months between each release. The guys I'm working with seem to think that that's not going to happen. It might be closer to 6 months. We'll see. we'll see.
All right. Well, Jonathan Olenoff, I'm sure that my listeners are looking forward to this as much as I am, so we'll keep our eye on coreofcorruption.com to check for updates about the film for sure. And I hope you'll keep us updated, and hopefully we can have you back on in the future to talk more about your ongoing documentary project.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, no problem. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes, and I appreciate all you've done, and I'd love to come back on.